Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's begin with prayer. Father, help us to live each day with deep dependence upon your Son in living the faith, trusting the promise of peace as we live in that vital fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. According to the Gospel of John, the evening meal was in progress, and Jesus got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After pouring water into a basin, Jesus began to wash his disciples' feet. Thus begins the Gospel of John at chapter 13. Then all the way through to the end of chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, Jesus is teaching the disciples and praying for himself, for the disciples, and for all believers. The discourse part, the part that comes before the prayers, concludes very forcefully there in the upper room, this upper room discourse. It concludes with this, John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It's as plain as day. Jesus states, in this world you will have troubles. There's no escaping this truth, no escaping this reality. Years ago, Louis Armstrong recorded a song. It's an old African spiritual from 1867. It was first published in its words of the spiritual from the fields. And the name of it is Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen. Here's a portion of the lyrics from one of the several versions that are out there. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah. Sometimes I'm up and sometimes I'm down. Oh, yes, Lord. Sometimes I'm almost to the ground. Oh, yes, Lord. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah. And many others have covered that song, like Louis Armstrong, through the years. And about the same era that Louis Armstrong recorded this song, another song was written, and it was written for a Disney movie. The title of the movie was Song of the South. And in that movie, James Basket played Uncle Remus. And he sang a song that has a much different feeling to it. And this is how the song begins. It happened on one of those zippity-doo-dah days. Now, that's the kind of day when you can't open your mouth without a song jumping right out of it. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay, my oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay, Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Nobody knows the trouble or zippity-doo-dah. What kind of day would you prefer? What kind of life? Unfortunately, too many of us are sold on the message, give your life to Jesus and he'll take all your troubles away. Or come to Jesus and everything will be great. I mean, there's books with titles, Your Best Life, or title of The Power of Positive Thinking. Or even the power, the positive power of Jesus Christ. Now, I have to tell you, through the years past, years and years ago, I used to buy those kinds of books. And I would devour them. And I would read them and think, oh, everything will be just fine. You know, I'm a follower of Jesus. I should have no problems. Then real life happened. And that shows me that we live in a fallen, broken world. There is sin. There is evil. How can you explain the news of the past couple days of what took place here in Clark County? A 13-year-old and a 16-year-old are behind bars. These girls are behind bars, and the reason is murder. The two planned to murder the 13-year-old's family, her mother, her father, her 17-year-old brother. You can psychoanalyze all you want, but the reality is this is evil. And the result, the mother is dead. Father injured, brother injured too. That's the truth. We live in a fallen, broken, and evil world. 10 years ago, this past April, a young lady was driving home in a car with a part of the family from a visit. There was a car accident. The accident was not her fault, but it took her life. She was just a few weeks away from graduating high school when she went home to be with the Lord her Jesus. There's hurricanes, there's wildfires, there's tornadoes, there's flooding. We should be immune to them, right? Because we are Christian, right? None of those should happen to us. Saturday mornings for many years, my household, my home, has listened to radio, children's radio stories. One of those radio programs is titled We Kids, with the tagline, Christ-centered radio for little people and their families. And on this We Kids story half hour, Mr. Nick, he tells stories, he plays music, always includes a classic march. And during that march, he says, they starts naming off names to be march leaders in the household. And if I didn't get to your house, you name someone. Well, in my household, my daughter Aria would like to go marching with those We Kid march. And you just see her marching around the house. And the show would always end with some creative way of Mr. Nick leaving the show. A motorboat, a helicopter, just could be a variety of things that makes absolute no sense. But during the show, he'd give his mailing address. And his mailing address was Paradise, California. Well, this past November, that We Kids, P.O. Box 444, Paradise, California. Yes, good old Paradise, California. That address is no longer available. The We Kids studio was destroyed. Most of Mr. Nick's possessions were destroyed. The archives, many of them, were destroyed when Paradise, California was destroyed by the Camp Fire wildfire last November. Over 30 years of ministry, doing the work of the Lord God, discipling children. Up in flames. Are Christians immune to cancer, immune to falling and breaking bones or missing a step and twisting an ankle? Isn't life supposed to be zippity-doo-dah? Everything is satisfactual? I mean, Jesus in me is supposed to take care of all my heartache, my pain, and remove all the suffering, right? Or is this a shallow nothingness? Missing the depth of trusting and believing, having the faith no matter what. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble. The Greek word translated as trouble, it means persecution, it means affliction, it means distress and tribulation. The image is like pressure, pressure that constricts and rubs together. It's used of a narrow space that hems a person in. It causes a feeling of being confined and restricted in movement. It causes a feeling you're without options, feeling there's no way to escape. The pressure is crushing you. That's what that word troubles means. I'm being crushed. No way to escape. In this world, you will have that. John chapter 16, verse 33 begins with, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. The these things is all of his teachings, but in more particular, that whole group of John chapter 14, 15, 16, put together. There's so much in it. Go home and read those three chapters today. It won't take very long, but see what these things are for yourself. I have told you these things that you may have peace. You may have wholeness. That word in Greek for peace, it really means wholeness. It means to join together into a whole. You are made whole. Jesus says this happens. This is only when it happens, is when we are in Him. So that in me you may have peace. John chapter 14 begins this conversation with the disciples. And Jesus begins with this: do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. And that's read at many, many funerals, because it talks about He goes and prepares a place and He'll come back to take us to be with Him in that place He's prepared. So have faith. Do not be troubled. Do not. And then there in John chapter 14, verse 27, you hear that verse: peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This peace that He gives is different than what the world can offer. And all through this portion of the Gospel of John, Jesus is pointing to His relationship with the Father. And the relationship with the Father is Him, and He is in the Father, that they are one. And that's the relationship we are to have in Christ. And that we become one. We are in Him. He is in us. And we are in God. The power of that, with the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter. Remain in Jesus as the vine and branches are joined together. That's from John chapter 15. To bear fruit. The peace that you seek is only found in Jesus. And it's found in that living, loving relationship. It is in Him you may have peace. Now, that word may, it's not a part of the Greek. The Greek is have, hold, possess. That word may is added for just to make the English to flow a little better. But there's a problem with that flowing of English. The word may, it means, it oftentimes indicates it's a possibility or it's a probability. I may give you $1 million. That's probably not possible or probable. But the word may is still a perfectly good word there. But you know you're not going to get $1 million from me, at least not yet. That may. So that word may can cause problems. It's not there part of the Greek. Because it's possible, probable. No, it's a certainty. You possess, you have, you hold, you have that peace. It's not the case here. So that in me you may have peace is not a statement of Jesus with a probability or possibility you may or may not. No, rather this statement is a statement of fact. And the word order in the Greek, if you put the English into the order of the Greek, it does a little bit help there. So that in me you have, you hold, you possess peace. So that in me you have peace. Sometimes when you take the Greek into the English, it messes up the understanding because trying to get the English to flow. You have peace in Him. It is in Him, being in Him, being in Jesus as Savior and Redeemer, that peace comes. You can ask why. Here is the why. And that's the rest of verse 33 of John chapter 16. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Overcome, the Greek word is nikeo. And the root word of nikeo is Nike. And Nike means victory. Nikeo means I conquered. I am victorious. And it's an absolute victory. This word overcome in the Greek is in a form and a tense that makes the strongest of strong statements. And it's a statement of fact. It has already happened. He's telling his disciples, even before he's betrayed and crucified and suffers all the rest of that passion, he already is saying, it is a fact. I have overcome. His suffering is not going to be defeat. His suffering will be victory. That cross will not be defeat. That cross will be victory. He has already won the victory. It's as if it's already been accomplished. That's the way he's talking to his disciples here in John chapter 16. It's already done. You can have peace. I have already overcome. The world is full of trouble. It's not perfect. All of creation was impacted by the fall. Evil comes and works much wrong. Evil, the evil one, still continues his empty promises and brings about death and destruction. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, Jesus said. But take heart. That word, but. But is a strong adversative conjunctive. It means what came before is now turned upside down and like it doesn't exist anymore. In this world, you will have troubles. But take heart. Why take heart? I have overcome this world. It has been negated in the most powerful way. Yes, in this world, you will have trouble. That is completely and totally negated by this powerful but. Take heart, better translated as take courage. And this courage refers to the God in us bolstering the believer and empowering us as the believers with this bold inner attitude. Why that bold inner attitude? Jesus has overcome the world. We're going to sing as concluding a service tonight, God is good. But in the bridge, towards the very end of we sing it, there's these lines, and it speaks right to this. Though I may not understand all the plans you have for me, my life is in your hand, and through the eyes of faith, I can clearly see God is good. Again, I share with you many, many times when my mom passed away and we're in Decorah, Iowa for the funeral. I was greeting my cousins in all my pain, God is good. And they could not understand me. That's the only thing I could hold on to at that time. I was hurting so bad. God is good because he has overcome the world. My mom has died, but she will live and I will live. That's what this is about. Troubles will come, but you have something you can hold on to. Christ has overcome them all when he overcame the world. You can cleave to these words of Jesus. You can hold fast to the promise given by the Lord Jesus. Let all these words pour into your heart from Christ, and in that heart give you such a quietness. And yet a boldness that can be found nowhere else. Storms, they may swirl around you. Ills, they may ail you. Pain, it may pierce you. Sorrow, it may swallow you up. But in the midst of them all, you can have peace. For your soul is settled and established in the arms of the living Christ who loves you. That's what he's talking about here in John chapter 16, verse 33. You can have this peace in him, though the world may throw its slings and darts at you. You can have peace. You can have peace in a broken bone situation. You can have peace when you're facing cancer and surgery. You can have peace when a loved one is walking towards their last steps of this part of life. Because you know there is life to come. You can have peace, even though your tears have fallen down your cheeks and you can't stop them. You can have peace Why? Jesus has overcome them all. That's the faith. That's the faith hitting the road. That's the reality of standing on the promises of God. The ability to say in whatever situation, God is good. Having peace in a troubled world is having a faith that resides on the promises of Christ and that cross that shows he has overcome the world. And as he's overcome, you too overcome. Doesn't take you out of the world, but by his very presence indwelling in you, you overcome this world. Step by step, moment by moment, sometimes tier by tier, you overcome. It's not a zippity-doo-dah day. It's a Jesus knows my troubles. Glory, hallelujah. Because as he lives, we live. So in the face of what you're facing now in the coming days or months or even years, now you know how to have peace in a troubled world. It's to rest in Christ and Christ alone. Amen.